This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Hey folks, this week's episode is brought to you by Encounter Party, an audio adventure podcast featuring six professional voice actors battling through an epic Dungeons & Dragons campaign edited down to focus purely on the story.
It is a campaign written by a novelist and playwright, and every episode is fine-tuned by removing all fluff and filler, the opposite of what we do with our podcast, so they leave nothing but pure adventure you can enjoy in under an hour, and it's set inside the Magic the Gathering realm of Ravnica, which Patty and Cass said, you could say something about that, and there's not much to say about Ravnica. It's where Magic the Gathering is set. But it's cool. You could see some Magic the Gathering. You could see a Black Lotus, perhaps.
Perhaps. You'll have to listen to find out.
Or hear about it, at least. hear it described to you. Yeah, I listened to some. It's very tight. It's very non-tangenty, which, that is, like Eli said, the opposite of this. But a couple of the people that work on it are fans of the show, so you know they have good taste. And they think that it would be, something cool to check out. And I agree.
There are two full seasons already available, and there's a third season that's coming out this fall. So if you're interested in this kind of stuff, this is a really good time to get in on Encounter Party. You have some time to catch up, then you'll be all set for the third season. If you're a fan of fantasy epics and great voice acting, definitely check out Encounter Party. It's everywhere you listen to podcasts. And if you want more information, you can head over to encounterparty.com.
Welcome to What a Time to Be Alive, the only podcast counting down everything this week that made you say, what a time to be alive. And now, Patrick Monahan, Kath Barbadoro, and Eli Uden.
Folks, welcome to What a Time to Be Alive, the only podcast that counts down the things each week that make you say the thing that's the title of the podcast. I'm Patrick Monahan.
I'm Kath Barbadoro.
I'm Eli Uden. Were you not ready?
I'm Kath.
Yeah, and our fourth guest.
I'm sorry, I'm very distracted by the dog.
Yeah, I was going to say our
barking
special
dog
guest
outside my window.
Our special guest this week is a dog that lives below a special guest, a dog that lives below Kath.
So a lonely dog.
I feel very bad for him. If you are a listener to Lie, Cheat, and Steal, you may already be acquainted with our guest. He's made appearances on there before. He loves to bark. He's just using his voice. And I was telling Eli and Patty, it's been like really bad the last 2 weeks. Like he's been more barky and like for longer periods of time. And I just want to like leave a note on his owner's door and be like, please just let me hang out with your dog when he does this, because like it's ruining my life, and I would do it for free, like just to get the dog to stop barking.
I mean,
like,
yeah,
free dog sitting to get your dog to shut the fuck up.
I would assume it's because like, they've gone back to work or something. But yeah, this is one of those things that is, it's so like, even, I mean, we've only been experiencing it for 5 minutes, and it's like, it's so rapidly been going to go from like, oh, poor doggy, to like seething, uncontrollable rage. Like,
yeah,
they'll be lucky if you, who is a kind person, versus someone else in the building, just loses their mind. Because,
well, it's like he's lived here a long time. Like, I know this dog bark. Like, it's definitely happened before. But the last like week or two, it's been, when he's been barking, it's been like for an hour at a time. Like,
yeah, this is uninterrupted.
Up.
This is quite,
yeah,
quite severe.
It's not great. I don't love it. And
we
yeah
do not.
So
love...
I apologize. I don't know how much of it is getting picked up on my mic, because my mic is pretty restricted. But you guys, I know, can hear it on Zoom.
We can definitely hear it on Zoom.
It's not great.
We do not love to hear it. Weirdly enough,
it's not something you love to hear. Yeah, I put a little extra pep in the intro there, relative to my usual peppiness, which is not peppy.
I noticed. Good job.
I,
yeah, yeah.
I was listening to last week's, and it sounded like I was like one of those like half slowed down videos they do to make Nancy Pelosi seem drunk. Like I was like, what's going on? Like, why am I like this?
You do. I feel like that is. It's definitely harder when we are recording remotely. But you do. You sound like you're like dead. Like. I don't know why you are unable to sound peppy in the intro.
I think it's just a lot, especially when we're not in person. It's the loss of like the like, oh, we're recording. And so it's just in the energy of like the same way someone's like the same way we're like, oh, I'm turning on the Zoom. And you're like, and here's the intro. And OK, like
sounding excited is an act out and I'm not good at act outs. That's my problem. I have like a. Like, because I don't listen to the show. I listen to it. I forget why I listened to last week. Just the beginning, because I wanted to maybe confirm what the phrasing was that I used or something for something. But I was like, wow, this is like Lana Del Rey levels of energy. Like, I'm laying down while I'm saying it. You know, just kind of like. Yeah.
It is. It That's a good way to put it. It sounds like you're laying down when you're saying it.
Yeah. Last week, I think, like, was particularly.
I'm not good at act outs either, but like I feel like the one thing that I have learned from comedy is how to pretend to be excited for things I'm not excited for. That is like the one act out I can do just from.
Like when other people get stuff. Like that, is that what you mean? Or like on shows?
Like when your friend launches a web series?
No, I just mean like if I'm tired. What'd you say?
Like when your friend launches a web series? Check this out.
But. No, I just mean like when I'm tired and I don't want to perform and I have to go on stage when I like don't feel good or something. And then I can, you know, fake energy and have people think I'm excited to entertain them.
Yeah, you start off with that famous Kath Barbadoro intro. What's up, motherfuckers? It's Kath.
Yep.
You always get on stage and say that. It's one of my favorite bits of yours.
I get on stage and I say, I ain't scared of you, motherfuckers, no matter what's going on.
Yeah, in your airbrushed jeans with a big picture of your own face on them.
Kath talks about how much she loves sex. I love sex. It's like, wow, this guy knows it. Okay, yeah, all right.
You can't
That's all my
that
material,
bullshit.
Yeah.
Don't rush my nuts. Don't rush me.
Start to a premise is just I love sex. It's like, all right, man.
Yeah, that's extremely powerful. That's extremely powerful. Like when comics are on stage and they're like, I don't do segues. That's like that to the nth level. Just walk on stage. I like sex. It's like,
yeah. I mean, and most comics that do that stink. And Bernie Mac is hilarious. So that's
yeah. That's the audience response as soon as you say, I love sex. You get a semi-polite, semi-golf clap.
Yeah, you say, I
like
love
sex. A little
sex,
more enthusiastic.
And then you get the Apollo 13 thing where everyone's cheering in Houston, and they cut to the family at home, and they're all crying on the couch and hugging, and then Ed Harris kind of covers his eyes and sits down, finally relieved, having saved the day. That's basically it.
Movies. Dude, when you say films. Cinema.
Dude, I loved the Bernie Mac show. I just cut that part.
I'm out of here. That was me.
I loved the Bernie Mac show. I'd watch it all the time. It was like, and just looking back, it's so weird because it's like about family too. So it's just Bernie Mac doing one of those, like, when they cut to him on the couch doing like a straight to camera, being like, all right, being a dad is hard. And I'm like 12 years old and I'm like, yes, it is, Bernie. tell me. But.
Oh man, that swallow just right into Mike. That water swallow.
Yeah, what are you drinking, big man? What do you got over there?
A big old water.
Oh yeah,
a big nice water for the boy.
For the slightly hungover boy.
Mm-hmm.
Gotta hydrate.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so Eli and I just want to give our listeners an update on our current Zoom backgrounds. Eli and I are both in the same Totoro Forest.
Yes.
And Patty is in the Simpsons house, but it's like oriented weird. And so it's like, it's very unnerving, I feel like, your Simpsons house background.
Yeah, it's like they did the, you know, it was like Fox put out like a, you know, free Zoom backgrounds or whatever. And it's the Simpsons living room. So it's like the couch. And then on one side, it's the, you know, like the dining room door. And the other side, it's the kitchen door. So it's like the problem is like, that's not how it would look if you were sitting in there. So it looks like I have my laptop on top of the TV and I'm sitting in a chair in front of the TV. It's not very, true to form.
It's kind of unsettling.
Yeah.
It's very...
Is that, like, Shelby's phone connected to the Zoom share? Like, what?
Maybe. It was crystal clear.
Is that mine? I don't know. I guess I got to text it. Let me turn off my notifications. Sorry, everyone. It's very professional here.
How dare you? It's okay. This podcast has already started with a dog constantly barking in the background. Yeah. I don't know how professional we are.
It was actually the dog. Being. The dog actually texted me to bark. It just says bark. It's kind of weird.
Attention, woof. Yeah, no, it's a very like architectural look at the Simpsons house. It's like, it feels like I'm being shown the Simpsons house as an option of a house that I could buy, almost. They're like, a lot of space, really nice. And I'm like, is this the Simpsons house? I'm pretty sure that you're showing me that the Simpsons, who, just like quietly, like, what was the last name of the family that used to live here? Just like,
who's
out of
the
curiosity.
Seller? Who's yeah. the seller?
Is it a big family? They have a little baby. They love to pacifier, perhaps.
Dog and a cat.
Didn't they actually build it? And like someone got won it in like a sweepstakes. Am I remembering that right? It was like for one of the milestone episodes or something.
That sounds
really?
Right.
Really? Like an actual house, like full size.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I think it's in Nevada or something. I'm going to ladbible.com to get this information.
Yeah. That's like one of the worst contests to win is a house, because then it's like, great, now I have to pay property taxes.
Right.
Like,
and I have to live in the Simpsons house.
It can financially ruin you to win a house in a contest. They did this in Austin. They gave away a house, and I remember it being like a whole debacle where nobody ended up wanting it because it was like, great, this house is valued at like $2 million, and I don't have that money, so thanks.
And cars,
like,
too.
The thing about the Simpsons house is that, like, I mean, the whole thing is that, like, they're not rich. I mean, like, I know Frank Grimes does the whole, like, you know, this place is a palace, you know, deal, and it's nicer than it should be based on whatever he makes, but it's, like, not, like, a giant mansion or anything. It's in Henderson, Nevada, so, like, I guess is that by Vegas? I think that's by Vegas, and...
I just assume everything in Nevada is...
And, well, Vegas, right, because otherwise it's just
close
nothing.
Close to Vegas.
Yeah, but it's, like, a $120,000 house, so it's from 1997, I guess. And also, if you win the house, you have a bunch of people that probably come to see it, and that's fun for you.
Yeah. That's always great. Just having the biggest nerds in the country on your lawn all the time.
Right.
Yeah, I think I would just immediately sell it, and then you have to sell a house, which also seems stressful.
Right.
I don't know.
At least if you bought and or live in the Sex and the City house, you live in the West Village and have annoying people taking pictures on your stoop, as opposed to
the
Simpsons house. Not as exotic.
I feel like the best prize, the best way they could do it is that you win and they would just be like, we would have built you a Simpsons house. Anyways, here's the money. Like, that would be what I want. They'd just be like, we could have done that. Wouldn't that have been cool? Anyways, we're not really going to do it because that's insane. So here's $120,000. That would be nice, I think. The dog. Is it okay? Now I'm worried if it stops barking. It's, like, go check
I
on it.
It is a struggle to
it's okay.
participate in this podcast because of the dog.
There is,
like,
I'm
sorry.
There is a strong underlying energy of, like, Kath is about to snap. And
I'm trying to, like, mute my mic when I'm not talking so that it doesn't affect you guys. But I remember, like, a few days ago, I recorded the dog barking to, like, send to somebody to just be like, this is what my house sounds like right now. I'm going crazy. And even just listening to that recording, like, raised my blood pressure. Yeah. Like, when the dog, it's like, it barks all the time. So I know it's bark. I know what it sounds like. And, like, when I hear that dog, I'm immediately, like, tense because I know it's going to be an hour of hearing this dog.
Yeah, it's not going to stop.
There's, like, nowhere, I think the other bedrooms in my apartment are okay, but there's, like, no public space in my apartment where you don't hear this dog barking. Like, there is absolutely nowhere safe.
Gotta get you some...
Nowhere is safe.
Bose Quiet Comfort or something. Start recording with noise-canceling headphones.
I mean, maybe I just noticed because I used to not be home as much, but it seems like it's gotten worse. I should definitely leave a note for this person.
Just, you're gonna have to leave the saddest note of all time and be like, hi, I record a podcast and it's actually a large part of my income at this moment, and your dog will not shut the fuck up. So Have the dog on. At least have, let's just have it as a guest for real. I can bark straight into the mic. We can pick it up.
I've only seen it like once that I know of, because like I saw it leaving its apartment with its owner and it barked at me and I was like, it was you. Like, I knew.
You dropped your coffee cup and it shattered. And you realize that the name was stolen from the bottom of the, you know, just full Usual Suspects.
Yeah.
What kind of dog is it? It's small for sure. I feel like it's like a Jack Russell or like one of those fluffy ones.
It's like a mid-sized curly guy. Like
a mid-sized slightly, curly.
Yeah, yeah. Like and that's slightly it. Poodle-ish, but...
Starting ordering my fries as mid-size.
Hello. Mid-size curly, please.
Yeah. Walking into the walking into the Checkers dressed as a Southern dandy and ordering a mid-sized curly fries.
Yeah. So he's, I mean, it was a cute dog. And they're, like, I feel bad. Like, people have to go to work. I get that you can't, like, pacify your dog all the time. But get somebody to come walk it or something. Like, holy shit.
Yeah. How long have they had it? This might as well be number five at this point, is the dog.
After this, we should move into it. But they've definitely had it for at least like a year or two. So okay. I've lived in this apartment for 3 years, and I don't remember when I started hearing the dog, but it's definitely been a while. Like, they could conceivably have moved in before me.
Because I heard that some people, like, when they've gotten dogs during quarantine, and then the dog is just, like, accustomed to someone literally being with them 24 hours a day. But yeah, I mean, it's a middle ground though, where it's like, yeah, I feel bad for the dog, and yeah, you have to go to work and stuff, but it's like, this is also, you need to like do something for the mental health of your dog, because
your dog is clearly very upset, and I live in like a big building, so there are probably at least 50 people being disrupted by this at any given time, like, because it's like my building and then there's like an air shaft that it is barking into with another really big building next to it. Like, I'm certainly not the only person who's currently on edge hearing this dog bark.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's,
and you're probably not the only person recording a podcast.
also likely, considering where I live. Mm-hmm. There's probably someone else recording a podcast with this dog barking in the background.
That's how somebody's going to find out. Like, you're going to find out that you live close to somebody you know, because you hear the same dog sound barking in their podcast.
Doxed by dog bark. Trace the dog.
Trace him. Enhance. They're going to do a waveform analysis on him. It's going to be a nightmare.
That's a dog, all right. I've done my job.
All right. Should we get into numbers?
His little throat must be ripped to shreds.
Horse.
This is constant. How do they not lose their voice? Can dogs lose their voice?
This dog apparently does not, because it will go on for a while. Like, it could conceivably be this entire podcast. And I apologize to Shelby, who is probably going to have to try to edit some of it, or edit around some of it.
You can't edit around it.
I mean, like, when I'm not talking, you can cut out my audio, which is a pain in the ass.
Oh, okay. That might be even more distracting, because it's like...
Then it goes
like,
away.
You know, it's like, I don't know what... You're probably not supposed to call it Chinese water torture anymore, but I don't know what you are supposed to call it. They're like, where people are just like constantly waiting for the next bark, you know? They're like, when is it back? We're just talking about the difficulties of listening to this specific episode of the podcast is the subject of this one. Very weird.
It would be very funny if it turns out the dog is not, you can't hear the dog, like in the recording. Oh. And everyone's like, what is this dog? I feel like I'm going insane.
Yeah, then you're actually going to have to record it and like post it on Patreon. Yeah, sign up for Patreon to hear the fucking dog that is the bane of this existence.
I've been watching the like little sound levels on my recorder, and I'm pretty sure you can make him out. I would
be surprised if you couldn't.
Well, if you don't hear a dog, just imagine a dog, and you got it. That's it.
Yeah, if you've ever heard a dog before, it's similar. It's quite almost eerily similar to that.
The thing is, like, if I go down and leave a note, that's like another hour of barking, because he's going to be like, someone's outside my door. I need to continue not shutting the fuck up for another hour, you know?
Yeah, but maybe if he's barking at the door, it won't be out the window. Maybe you just need to like...
That's true. Relocate him.
Relocate him. Yeah, like knock on the door so that he comes into the kitchen and it quiets down. Oh, boy. You've got a mission ahead of you.
He's just saying hey over and over again. It's like the yeah. Far Side. Just the translation of dogs is just hey. That's him.
Yeah. Like one of those like super sappy cartoons that you always see that are like, they're like, when your dog barks, what he's saying is I miss you or something. And I think it's supposed to make people cry or whatever. And it's always just like, shut up. It's a dog. He's probably saying hey. It's like,
he's saying
they don't
hey.
Know. Yeah.
He's just saying hey. Should we do numbers?
Yes.
Number degrees. Five.
Okay, number five is a story from Hollywood, Los Angeles.
Wow.
The, what do they call it? La La Land.
Mm-hmm. Holly Weird.
You know, Holly Weird out there. And it is, if I may say so myself, a pretty Holly Weird story.
Wow.
This is comes to us from specifically from LAX, where apparently earlier this week, pilots reported seeing a man flying with a jetpack about 300 yards from these commercial flights that were landing. In their last like 3,000 feet of descent, they were seeing a dude in a jetpack just flying around LAX. And obviously, this is perhaps a safety issue. Multiple pilots were reporting it. There doesn't seem to be any footage of it, but like a bunch of people saw it.
Hmm.
So it is currently an unsolved mystery. They don't know who it was or why they were doing this. But yeah, a bunch of pilots saw it. There are some hypotheses that it may have been a mannequin attached to a drone, but that hypothesis comes from people on the ground, and the pilots are like, we know what we saw. Like, they're very adamant that this was a person.
That's way more unlikely than it's just a guy with a jetpack. I feel like that it's a mannequin attached to a drone. This is a real Occam's razor situation. It's like, it's probably just a jetpack guy. Like,
well, there's like, the reasons they think it might not be a jetpack guy are that jetpacks are extremely loud and nobody reported like hearing anything. And drones are pretty quiet. So they're like, maybe it could be a drone because, like, we don't hear it.
Also, like, do we have, like, someone... are there reliable jetpacks that, like, you would go 3,000 feet up, like, I mean, that people just have? Are they really are they that?
3,000, well, I guess not. But, yeah, I was about to say, isn't it crazy that there are jetpacks now, but they just suck?
Not only are there jetpacks, the article I'm reading has a quote from a jetpack pilot who has denied, she's like, it wasn't me. I promise it wasn't me, but I will give you a quote for this story. And she says that jetpacks could go up to 18,000 feet high.
That seems like, stupid.
Yeah. No one does it, yeah. But they can technically.
It's like
that.
A Vespa. It's like you can take it on the highway. You shouldn't.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah. No, I think jetpacks, yeah, you know, ever since that great video of the guy who's like, here we go. And then he goes straight into a lake. Like, they're around.
The
they're
best.
Just like. I think they're just, like, prohibitively expensive, and I think they're, like, so complicated that you, like, they're not consumer-ready, you know, like, you need to, like, do upkeep and stuff.
I think that's the other reason why they think it might not have been a jetpack is because, like, there are very few jetpacks in the world.
Right, wouldn't you have, like, a list of who it could have been?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, yeah.
You're on a list of jetpack guys. Government's tracking
you
your movements.
You should. I mean, if you are in the position to buy a jetpack for personal use, like, I'm fine with your civil liberties being compromised. You should be on a list. People should know who you are.
Yeah. I mean, I will say, if you have a jetpack, if I had a jetpack, the number one place I would not fly it is near an airport.
That's right.
That's
yeah.
Just seems like a
wildly
good way to
dangerous.
Get chopped up. Seems
immediate
like a good way
presumption
to get...
of going directly into an engine. Just
yeah. Like
flying directly at it.
I'm flying,
like,
amazing. It's like I'm a
feathers still come out even though no one knows why. It's just still feathers.
Anytime anything gets sucked into a jet engine, just its feathers come
that's
out.
A proud
Sully
bald
happens
eagle.
Again, but everyone's pissed off instead of, you know, impressed. It's like, oh, come on, who's this asshole? Jesus Christ, yeah. The jetpack guy.
Remember when that was like when Trump was still just like, Kath, I think you moved your camera, but it looked like you full on fell over. And I was like, oh no, Kath tipped over.
When no, I just moved my laptop, but that's very funny to be like, whoa!
Yeah. when he was still just like saying not terrifying weird stuff, and he had like a weird thing for a while that he was like, we need to get rid of windmills because they keep killing bald eagles.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I don't remember that
Those were the days, huh?
And I think like everything else that's traced back to like some kind of weird fight he had as a developer in like the Scotland golf course area or something. Mm-hmm. I think it was like they want to put these wind turbines and they're going to ruin the views of the golf course. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's great. We love it.
Yeah,
that guy makes policy now.
It's good.
Yeah.
This story really changes things for the band. We were promised jetpacks. Now it's kind of it's come to fruition. You know, which is nice.
Yeah.
That's how you know your band has been around too long and you need to break up is if you named it that and then you still exist when jetpacks are available. Like it's time to hang it up.
Yeah.
That'd be like like if we had actual flying cars, it's like, well, all right, that's it.
I'm glad that era is over of the band names that are full sentences. No thank you.
Yeah, it was not great.
Yeah, like, what was the classic Godspeed You Black Emperor? If somebody told me to check that out, I said no before they finished the name of the band. They're like, you should check out Godspeed You Black. I'm like, no.
That
no,
one's
no.
tough because there's an exclamation point in the middle of the sentence. That one was tough for me.
Yeah. Oh, I like them as a band, but it is hard to get over that name. I feel like
Panic at the Disco had that too, right? They were like,
yes,
Panic
they did.
At the Disco.
That's right, they did.
Mm-hmm. I think the worst example of this is And You Will Know Us by the Trail of Dead. That's like the worst.
See, that's a cool name to me.
No, it's not cool. No. It's too long.
We take a vote. It's not cool.
come on. If they were like a metal band, wouldn't that be cool? I feel like that would be.
But they're not a metal band. They're a bunch of indie, like prog dorks. Like they're not. If they were a metal band, I would maybe be able to see it. But even then, it's like, name your album that. Don't name your band that.
Every band with a long name at all has, like, the name always has the energy of someone trying to get me to, like, sit down to listen to the band. You know? Like, they're like, take a seat. It's like, no, fuck off. Like,
every band should be called The Blanks. And Blank should just be a different noun. That's it.
Yeah.
Choose a noun. And make your music.
The hives, the vines, okay? That's where it should have been. We're going to run out of words.
The Beatles.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
Every band should be called The Beatles, all right? There's metal Beatles, maybe hip-hop Beatles.
A pun in there. Yeah, exactly.
I would listen to a band called The Metal Beatles. That would be very funny to me.
I think it would just be really...
I mean, I guess that's basically Eagles of Death Metal. Like, that's their name joke.
We'll go watch out.
Yeah, but that's the joke of their name, which is, like, pretty funny to me.
Yeah.
I've never listened to them, but, like, yeah, the Metal Beatles, I'd listen to that.
They're
band.
A good band, but they had a weird... Because there was that attack. There was a terrorist attack on their concert. And then,
right, that was them in France.
Yeah, and then the lead singer went hardcore, like Chud after that. He's an alt-right guy now. He went...
Oh, wow.
He lost his mind. But, yeah, good band up until then. Fun stuff.
Stuff.
Yeah, I don't have any musical ability really, but I do kind of just want to start a band now called The Beatles again, spelled the same.
The Beatles,
even with the
Beatles too.
No, just The Beatles with B E A T. Just the worst SEO ever imagined. It's impossible to find our music, and Spotify won't carry it.
You'd probably get a cease and desist.
You'd get instantly sued. I think
the only way you could do it is if you and the rest of the band all legally change your last name to Beatle. Like,
it's worth it to me.
Then you could be the Beatles, like the Ramones. Only I don't think they actually legally changed their names. I think they just
I can't imagine the Ramones doing that paperwork. I don't see them engaging with that bureaucracy.
I went on this weird like YouTube thing. I started off like I forget why I was going through Misfits stuff. Then I was reading about Jerry Only for whatever reason, and then I found a 2003 interview with like that incarnation of Misfits. Interview with Nardwuar, and it's Jerry Only, Des Cadena from Black Flag, and Marky Ramone were the Misfits, which is insane to me. I don't think I even knew this existed. And they're just like, Jerry Only's like talking about grilling after the Warped Tour and stuff, and then talking about how like Fat Mike from NoFX wanted him to go golfing at 7 a.m. And then Marky Ramone just leans in and goes, punk rockers don't go golfing, or something like that. And it's like, Okay. Yeah. Wow, this is insane that I'm watching this.
Yeah.
It's good.
It's important to, like, control the flow of, like, footage of, like, punk rockers and stuff, because it's like, you can't, you know, it's like that picture of Danzig carrying a bunch of kitty litter. It's just like, oh, right, you do that, I guess. Also,
yeah, and Jerry only is shirtless with the devil lock and the eye makeup, and he's just like a friendly guy from Jersey.
It's so funny that they're like, this is called the devil lock, and it's this literal stupidest hair in the world. And he's like, it's called the devil lock, and it's like, you look like you got out of a rainstorm. This is crazy.
Actually, it's cool. Thank you.
Oh, okay.
I think it's cool. But I did a festival the year after Danzig was supposed to headline it, and he refused to play because they didn't respect his rider. And I don't remember the entire rider, but I do remember that he demanded French onion soup. And they didn't have any, which I really am a man after Patty's heart. Like, this is on the What a Time to Be Alive rider, no question.
French onion soup served in a man's
skull.
Yeah.
So they didn't have French onion soup.
Soup for my family.
So he refused to play. And then I did the festival the next year, not headlining, naturally, and at the like catering tent for people on the festival, there was a big crock pot of French onion soup that was like, it's just had a little plaque on it that said like, for Glenn Danzig only. And, it really made me laugh. Yeah. It was really good.
He's just angrily screaming, "Where is my soup?
Soup. 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 Yeah. Soup. Soup.
Danzig suffers from that, and then it's like, it is never not funny for Danzig to do anything, because he's Danzig.
Right. Any normal activity.
He's not good at it either. Like, he's pretty bad at not being funny. Like, do you remember...
I don't know. He's funny without trying, for sure. Also, adding to all this is the fact that he's 5'3". Like, that's
right, he's a tiny little man.
But he's so thick, too. He's like... It's like one of those weird things where he's like, I bet I would look less funny if I got really buff, and everyone's like, nope, this is way funnier.
I think that's like one of the best looks, is just like a tiny little buff man. I think it's awesome. Like, there are some wrestlers I like that are like that. There's this guy in New Japan named Taiji Ishimori, who is legitimately like 5'3". Like, he's just the tiniest little man, and he looks like an action figure.
Yeah.
Like, he has that body where he's so ripped he can't fully put his arms at his sides.
Oh,
but he's 5'3". Like, it's insane. And it's so good. I think that's the best way to do it.
That's basically like homie looking like a Final Boss size.
Yeah. Yeah.
But homie,
I'll send you guys a picture of him.
But homie not looking like a Final Boss. Homie looking like an assistant to the Final Boss. You know, like a little like side boss that does like a magic attack every once in a while. Yeah. Also, just Danzig, like, the greatest thing I think about it all the time. Like, when his account got hacked on something, and then instead of just like getting it back and being like, my account got hacked, he posted this thing and he was like, my account got hacked and I want to make sure everybody knows that I, and there's a list of stuff that the hacker said he did, and one of them is, he goes, specifically, he goes, and I do not eat my own cum. And I was like, just don't mention that. Like,
yeah, you could just be like, I got hacked, all of that stuff is bullshit. He's like, no, I need specifically for people to know.
Well, I'm not snacking down, or whatever you're going to call it, to be truly disgusting.
Probably not that. They probably don't call it that.
Snacking down?
Probably not.
Okay. Well, if you say so.
Oh.
Well, look, good luck
clear,
to this.
I'm pro Danzig. I think it's he's a wonderful, truly unique individual.
Oh, yeah, he's a gift.
Credit where credit's due.
He's a delight. Like I said, I love a short, little, thick man. I think it's great.
Give the
thumbs
man
up
his
to
soup.
Him.
Give him his soup.
If I ever met
him,
I feel like he punched me in the stomach.
I want my soup. I need my soup. All right, should we move on?
Yeah, sure.
Soup.
Number 5. Number 4.
There we go.
Shelby was fired up to get that last drop in. All right, number 4 comes to us from Wet Bigfoots in the Discord. This is okay, well, the headline here on The Guardian, But it's a snakes on a plate. Australian man shocked after massive serpents crashed through kitchen ceiling. So, I guess this guy was just, I guess, sitting in the kitchen or having a cup of tea, and he found two carpet snakes fell on the kitchen floor, onto his kitchen floor, like through the ceiling.
Two carpet snakes? More like two tile snakes.
Two linoleum snakes. That's right.
Yeah.
And they immediately slithered away to the bedroom and living room, which is not what you want. I mean, if you get snakes, you want to keep them in an area that, you know, you want to cordon the area off. They immediately went for the bed.
But how do you cordon it off? They'll slither right past those, you know, right past those.
Well, yeah, if you have like a saloon door kitchen situation, you're screwed. Mm-hmm. But if you have like an actual door, you know.
I'm very much enjoying the idea of someone putting down a couple stakes with like a rope fence, and we're like, be careful, snake inside. It's just empty, clearly.
Yeah, like a pylon, and it's just the snake like curling around the pylon and then going past
We've trapped him.
So this they called a snake catcher, as one does, I guess. And the two snakes were both male and appeared to be fighting over a third female snake. So, fellas, you guys know what I'm talking about. They were some of, quote-unquote, the biggest and fattest he'd ever seen. So,
the lady snake was just like, he touched my butt. What are you going to do about it? Are you going to defend me? Just, like, talked the other snake into it.
Just a picture of a snake. This man slaps your girl's ass at the club. W-I-D.
W-I-D. I'll crash through a kitchen ceiling. Yeah. That's W-I-D.
A fat snake and a slightly longer fat snake just going after each other.
Yeah.
So one was 2.8 meters, which is, around 9 feet, and the other one was 2.5 meters, so a little bit less than that. I don't care enough to do the actual translation.
That's too big for my house.
Yeah.
Both snakes were wearing tank tops. They're getting buck wild.
I mean, Australia's like, look, Australia seems like a cool... I've never been to Australia. It seems like a very cool place. The people there seem to be very chill. But, man, there are just nightmare animals everywhere. Spiders it seems and like bugs. No thanks.
It seems like a place people shouldn't live. Like, it just seems like very hostile to human life in a way where it's like we shouldn't have people there.
Yeah.
Like we don't need to have people there.
That's the sound. It's full of
like extremely poisonous bugs and creatures that want to kill you and snakes crashing through your ceiling.
I forgot that Australia was like the old thing of like the English sending convicts there was like real until I've been watching the show Murder Maps and it's just like old British murders. And that was one of them at the end. It was like a horrific serial killer. And then at the end, and they were like, shall we send him to Australia? And it's like, what?
What? I think you mentioned this on the last podcast.
I just was like, why are you just... That seems harder than just putting him in regular jail. Like, why go through this? But, yeah.
Suggested stories here on The Guardian is python swallows family's pet cat hole in Queensland. It's like okay, this is just not this entire area. Shut it down.
They have a whole section of their newspapers that are like snake news. It just is all the updates about snake activities.
Going out in my thong sandals to pick up today's copy of Snake News. This is Snake News. In today's Snake News, there's more. They keep multiplying.
Just some important updates here from, I guess they did like a side interview with a different snake catcher. I guess who's their, like their like a pundit snake catcher. This guy named Raymond Hoser.
A frequent contributor to Snake News.
Yeah. Right. He's a snake catcher in Melbourne. Warns that people will be crossing more snakes in the coming weeks.
Yeah, probably. They live in Australia.
Well, people are at home and they're not out and about, so we've got a perfect storm where people will see more snakes, which is not what you want to hear.
What he's saying is that people are just going to see, like, usually you're out of your house and the snakes are in your house and you don't see them.
Right, they're just kind of curled up on your pillow or whatever, right. And then they leave before you get home.
And then they go down the toilet.
Right,
back only down the toilet. Right, to prepare to strike when you least expect it.
Yeah. He says that snakes could be dangerous. This sounds a little bit maybe like he's making sure people call him for a, you know, I mean, I'm sure it's somewhat altruistic, but also this would benefit him as a snake catcher. Warn that snakes can be dangerous and not to deal with them without professional help. If you see a snake, don't go near it. 9 times out of 10, if they're in your garden, they're passing through. If you get bitten, bandage on your arm, straight to hospital. Without treatment, you're likely to die. Without treatment, you probably won't die. It's like, all right, man, sending a pretty grim odds here. I want to know more about that 1 time out of 10 when they're not passing through. What is
right? What are they up to?
Yeah, they want your wallet. It's not clear what. So yeah.
I like that too because it makes it sound like the snakes are like commuting somewhere. Like they have a distinct destination.
Yeah, they're dragging a briefcase behind them.
Yeah,
filled with more.
That's
snakes.
That's another part of the snake news is they report on the traffic, the commute traffic.
Also,
through
good,
the gardens.
Good bit for snake news is snake news, but the anchor gets replaced after every commercial break because the last one got bit by a snake.
Yeah,
I'm feeling he was bit by a snake.
This is until finally, the last anchor is just a snake in a suit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when they've all been taken over.
They've taken over.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a few more from the bottom here related stories. That was a sidebar one. This is the bottom now of the page.
From the bottom stories. Go, just like Drake.
Don't go near it. COVID-19 lockdown leads to deadly snake booms. There's an independent story about that. And there's
good quote in the headline. Don't go near it.
That's right.
Really tells you all you need
first,
to know.
Yeah. Don't go near it. Now that we've got that out of the way.
let's see. Boa constrictor at large in Western Sydney after a huge snake skin found. Australian man bitten by Taipan snake dies after 6 days in hospital. Venomous tropical sea snakes wash up on Australian beaches after storms. Come on, man.
They have, like, they got sea snakes, they got carpet snakes, they probably
fucking
have, like,
spiders.
Tactical air snakes or
the
some
sea,
shit.
The sea snakes have adapted to living outside the sea, and they are now taking over the beach.
There's those snakes that can flatten their ribcage and fly. Those fucking things. They're coming.
Yeah.
Okay, there's two more here that are not snake related, or one more at least. Cassowary Ruthie relocated after trying to break into elderly man's home. Now, cassowaries are those terrifying giant birds.
Birds that can kill you. huge talons.
Every animal in Australia is just like trying to get into people's houses, it seems like. They really want to be in your home.
Like if you mess around in Australia, you're looking at either you're going to die of some kind of poison or you're going to get disemboweled. That's pretty much the deal. So stay in your house.
Yeah.
Go near it.
Hopefully good enough. Don't go near it.
Yeah. I would never. It's amazing that anyone in Australia wears sandals. I would just be. I'd be like, I need running shoes. I need to be able to fucking sprint at any point.
I need steel-toed boots so that these snakes don't bite my little toes off.
Yeah,
my little toes.
Little toes. You think? Wait, hold on. Let's go on what Kath thinks snakes do, which is
bite off
people's toes.
Bite off my little toes. I'm scared of it. No, I just feel like you get like bugs like to bite feet. Like, I just feel like animals really like to fuck with your feet. Yeah. I want to protect them.
Animals pounding on a computer keyboard trying to get to Wiki Feet. They can't understand how.
It's a real tragedy of nature that they can't access Wiki Feet.
Mm-hmm.
Shall we do number 3?
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Number 3.
Number 3 is I have some very mixed feelings about this story. This was sent to us by Jackpedia, also the designer of our new t-shirt, which you can get on TeePublic, which is currently having a sale. So I think today, the day this comes out, is the last day of the sale. So
yeah,
luckily tomorrow is the first day of the new sale. So
it's very nice. But yeah, it's $13. What is it? I'm from Massachusetts. I worship an elder ocean god, and I love Dunkin' or something like that.
Something
it's
to
good.
That. Yeah, something to that.
I bought one. I'm. They're pretty great.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Jackpedia designed that, and he sent us the story. The story is about a startup company that is in the alternative meat sphere, I guess. Really a terrible word choice by me. Alternative meat sphere. Thumbs down to that.
Yeah.
Very unappetizing.
That's just a meatball,
but yeah.
I think.
Well, it's a beyond meatball,
because
it's an alternative.
It's a black
meat
bean meatball.
Yeah.
Bunch of black beans pulped up.
Pretty much. But yeah, this startup has 3D printed a steak a plant-based steak. It looks kind of like a steak. It looks like somebody... Do you know what like an intarsia sweater is?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know? It looks like somebody like made an intarsia sweater with a steak on it. Like that's kind of what it looks like to me.
I'm gonna know what that is.
I feel like you'll know what it is when you see the steak.
It's any of the sweaters with the design knitting and knitted into it, and sort of a cross stitchy sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is it intarsia? I always said intarsia. I must be a fool. I've looked.
No, you're probably right.
I've been calling her Crandall.
Yeah.
But yeah, so this steak, it's 3D printed out of plant protein, and the big innovation is they're trying to get the texture right, because like a lot of these alternative meat, like, you know, Beyond Meat and stuff, they can approximate the taste relatively well, but they can't really do the texture. So that's what this is trying to do. And so they have like a 3D printing fat, a 3D printed blood, and a 3D printed muscle, and they put them all together. And it is really unsettling looking.
Yeah.
They have a picture of it being grilled, and it looks like a little less creepy. But yeah, it kind of looks like a dog chew treat.
Yeah, it looks like a plushie. It looks like you'd buy it on Etsy, and it would be like, you know, a plushie steak that's like a funny little toy.
The craziest thing about it is like the way that the 3D printing works, it prints out like little like squirts of this stuff.
Ew.
So it like I'm trying to send you guys a picture of it in its like rough form, and it just looks like a pile of licorice or something. It's like really weird.
Yeah,
looking.
I did. This is like something's finally dethroned sausage for something you don't want to see get made. Though I love imagining basically like a meat grinder that is hooked up to like a CNC, and it's just like ground meat, just like in the shapes you put. And yeah. Yeah.
That reminds me when I first started my job that I still have, but am now doing from home. One of the, I run some like social media accounts, and I was working at an art school. So I took a picture of a 3D printer that was in the process of 3D printing. I did like a little Instagram boomerang. Mm. And then as soon as I posted it, I was like, oh, someone's 3D printing a dick and balls. Like, that's what this is. This is definitely, because I work at like a college, and it was like absolutely just a college kid using the free 3D printer to print a dick and balls. And I like put it on all of our social media accounts, and then was like, whoops, sorry.
Look, dildos are expensive on a college budget. It's sometimes simpler to simply print your own. I wonder if it was their dick and balls. That would be crazy.
I don't think so, because it was like, it was pretty, I would say it would be like if there were a dick and balls emoji. Like, it was a very,
very cartoonish
symbolic representation, as opposed to like a realistic dick and balls. But I don't know. It was early in the printing process, so maybe later.
Maybe somebody's looks like that. You don't know.
Yeah,
man, that would be cartoonish. Wild. Somebody, it's just like that. That's such a mixed blessing, because it's like you have like a completely textbook,
right? It's canonical
normal dick. It's a canonical dick, but it's like perfectly smooth. Like, that's very strange.
It looks like a really fat, like a quick, like you know, cocktail napkin drawing. That's what it looks like.
Yeah. It's just, I have two perfectly spherical balls on either side of my dick, and then just a completely smooth, uniform ding dong.
Did you guys know that?
Not great.
Michelangelo's David, when it was originally sculpted, he was hard, and then they were like, get rid of this. Why would you do this?
Really?
No, I'm making that up, but it's fun to imagine.
Oh man, I got so excited. Like, I was like, that's. That would be wonderful.
Michelangelo's like, I'm a Phoenix, come on, look. And they're like, why is he hard? He's like, I think I like it that way. And they're like, no.
Wow.
Chop it off.
I wonder if there was some like Renaissance artist who like really wanted to revolutionize the marble sculpture game and was just like, I know, I'll make them all hard. And everyone was like, no, thank you. We do not like this innovation.
This sculptor is famous for his specific style of making everyone hard. This one, the sculptures are always erect, if you notice. Yeah. If you look at the bottom of the sculpture, just
Those are ones that get mega smashed off and replaced by fig leaves. Those are.
Yeah. That one I would support. Well, like, that one everyone's like, this censorship is bad, but except for the one guy that's been doing the hard sculptures, yeah, get rid of those. We like that you
it's
got
like
rid of
on
that.
All of those like sculptures from antiquity where all the noses get smashed off, and it's just like the nose and the dick. Those are the two things you lose. They're just too prominent. They stick out too much.
Yeah, they're trying to go under like a laser beam, like to get into like a breaking into a museum or something, and they both get sliced off.
A giant windstorm in Egypt reveals the Sphinx's massive hog. Been underground for years.
It was like in the crypt. Yeah. Like it's like part of
it's in the crypt, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's inside if you go down there.
Yeah, it's like a dog's.
Yeah, there's like
I mean the Sphinx is part cat, so it has like a weird cat dick.
Okay.
That's like in sorry.
Yeah, sorry, man.
Actually, that would be very funny if like the lost origin of the Sphinx was like it has the head of a human, the body of a cat, and also the dick of a human. Both of those things.
But in the style of a cat, like a cat.
I just can't imagine, because you know how animals, somebody is like, I feel like the dog stopped barking and then we just made it worse than the dog barking is what we're talking about. But like, you know, because
the dog is still barking, don't you know worry. We've been recording for 50 minutes and it has been barking the entire time.
Well, you're familiar with how animal penises work. I can't stop imagining the Sphinx getting hard and it's just that sound of like a crypt door opening. And it's like that low rumbling. It's like, like the red rocket coming out.
Why isn't that in The Mummy? I feel like that would be very scary.
It's the only way they could improve it.
That's why The Mummy's so mad. 99%
of the way to perfect. That's you know.
Yeah, The Mummy's dick fell off, and that's why he's so cross.
Yeah, that's the last part. Like you know, like he gets like reassembled, and he looks more and more like a person, and you can't tell. But the last thing he has to get is a dick. There's a dick just somewhere that he has to get out of one of the jars.
Return the dick.
Yeah, he sounds like a vampire ghost.
It's the Courage of Cowardly Dog, Ramses.
Oh, yes.
Return the slab. Return my dick. Anyways.
What were we talking about?
Fucking
steak.
Idea.
Steak. 3D steak.
3D printed steak. Seems about right. Yeah, it's gross. I feel like this kind of stuff is really interesting, and it does actually have like some potentially like beneficial uses for society to have like other cheaply accessible forms of meat alternatives and stuff. But it's like I don't think that it's going to be 3D printing. Like, there's no way that's going to be like better for the environment than raising cattle. Like,
it's also
right?
not well it's also not like it's not a replacement. It said in the article that like they can do like a certain number of pounds a day, and like the like 50 pounds a day, and like slaughterhouses are doing like hundreds of thousands of cows, each of which is hundreds of pounds of meat a day.
Each cow is heavy as fuck, and it's easy, you know. Yeah,
their goal is to have
I've got 500 fucking pounds of buffalo meat. It's easy.
Their goal is to have each one of their machines producing one cow's worth of 3D printed steaks a day.
Yeah.
So, like, I can see if they are able to do that, maybe this would work out. But I feel like it's probably not going to be the way, especially because they're like their first client. They're going to sell these to fancy restaurants very soon.
Yeah. It is cool.
So you can eat gross, weird, fake steak for presumably like $100 at some fancy restaurant.
Yeah,
it's cool that we're getting closer, like, you know, baby steps to like the putting a pill on a plate in a microwave or whatever type future, where it becomes like a steak dinner. That's nice to me.
Just hydrators, go full on,
or Fifth Element with the chicken. You know, where it's just like a little
that's what I'm saving up for, to buy a 3D steak printer for my house. So I can have as much fake steak as I can eat.
Yep. You're going to get a 3D steak printer for your house, and you're going to cook it in your Easy Bake special meal oven.
My convection oven.
You'll have it with Soylent.
My lovely, extremely useful, great purchase. Yes.
Yeah.
Shall we?
Number two?
Yeah. Let's do it.
Number two.
It's number two. Comes to us from NC Hammer 326 in the Discord. This one's just kind of a bummer. It's an inspiring story.
Great story selection. Exactly what we need.
This is a man from a town in about 1,000 kilometers away from Tokyo. A Japanese man living in Kyushu stole a bicycle and rode almost 1,000 kilometers to go see Tokyo. That's about 621 miles, all the way to Tokyo to go to Tokyo. You know, for the first time, he'd never seen it before.
How old is he?
He is.
Do you say he's old?
100.
I believe he's in his 50s.
Okay.
53. He said, I'm from a remote island and had never been to Tokyo, so I wanted to see it. And the bike is probably, it looks like the bike cost around $100. And he stole the bike, so, you know,
it looked like a city bike, like one of those sort of like rental bikes. It's a regular person's bike?
It's an everyday bicycle used by school students and mothers running errands. Upright seating stuff. Yeah, it's not like
a description of a bicycle, but it's not a description of that specific bicycle. Yeah, it was like who owned it?
I know what a bicycle is. And then the wheels, you do the pedals.
It's what you think of when you think of like a bike. It's not like a mountain bike. It's not like a racing bike. It's just like a bike. It has like an upright, you know, seat. You're not like pedaling hard, leaning forward. It has a basket in the front.
It is interesting that it is like not a bike designed to ride 621 miles.
Right.
That's for sure. But I'm still wondering, like, who is the victim in this theft? You know.
So he started walking to Tokyo, and he eventually, I guess, stole the bike because walking was difficult, which is probably true.
Fair. How many miles would you get on that trip before you stole a bike?
Yeah.
I would never leave. I don't know. I would just be home.
Right. Yeah.
He wouldn't go.
Yeah.
So he got to this resort town, not too far outside Tokyo, and police thought he looked suspicious when they spotted him pushing the bike up a slope with an umbrella hooked on, which they thought was odd for a sunny day that was 95 degrees, and then it stopped him for questioning. So he's about. He was 87 miles south of Tokyo, so he was...
Excuse me, sir, why are you prepared for weather?
Yeah, that's not even that weird, I feel like.
It's not that weird.
87 kilometers.
Maybe it's a parasol.
Away from Tokyo?
Yeah. So that's about, 50 miles? I can't do... Yeah, 55 miles.
So he got 621 miles away from his home, 50 miles away from Tokyo. He's almost there, and he gets busted.
Yep. At that point, you know, just let him... Just take him for a little, you know, get him into Tokyo. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I said this is exactly what they should have done. They should have known that you set up a barricade 2 feet into Tokyo. You got to let him cross the finish line. You got to let him get in there.
Just track his movements. He apparently shouldn't be hard to find because he's riding around with an umbrella on his bike like Studio Ghibli ass.
Yeah.
Like... whimsical bike man, like you're gonna find him.
I like that this bike theft has crossed jurisdictions. Like the original neighborhood police are gonna get a call from like, you know, however many 1,000 kilometers away. That's like, hey, we think we have a case that you may be dealing with of a stolen bicycle.
Yes,
that's why he gets away with it for so long, is because these jurisdictions can't get together.
Right. It's like the Golden State coordinate. Killer.
Exactly.
Or the Zodiac.
He's fucking Zodiac.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm picturing like a roadblock set up on like the bridge in like to cross into Tokyo, and it's just like he like rides up and like jumps over all the cop cars on the bike, like E.T. slash Gone in 60 Seconds style.
Mm-hmm.
We need a whimsical movie about this man. Perhaps we were talking about this the other week with the Monkey Patrol ladies. I feel like this is yet another movie that will be the Monkey Busters. Yeah, this will be yet another story that will be Hollywoodized, and like they'll cast like a young white guy to play him.
Just Tom Hanks again. You know? Forrest.
It'll be like
Gump
the Terminal.
It's Forrest Gump 2. He's on a bike.
I was thinking the Terminal, but also Forrest Gump. Yeah, he's both.
Yeah, it'll be like Jack Quaid from The Boys or something. It's like, it's 53-year-old Japanese. Okay, well, I guess that's
whitewashing the tale of the Japanese bike thief.
Yeah. So
what
was
he charged with?
I assume
bike
some kind of theft. That information is not in the story that I see.
He was executed.
I mean, he admitted to it, so you know, there's not a whole lot. It's kind of an open and shut deal. But apparently, around the country, around Japan, people are taken with this guy's plight.
Yeah,
I am.
I'm charmed.
This is outrageous criminal activity.
That's right. So apparently there was another guy. So the story ends here by saying maybe next time if he decides to make the trip again, he can use his own bike and team up with this man who once traveled between Tokyo and Hakone on bamboo stilts. So I don't know. That's about some guy went 120 miles on bamboo stilts.
That's a weirdo.
I'm charmed by a bike. Bamboo stilts, too whimsical for me. Not into it. It's like too, it's trying too hard. It's like,
he wants you to know about it.
The line I feel like is like this man on a stolen everyday bicycle. Even if we just modify it a little, it'd be too much for me. Like if he did this trip on a tall bike, I'd be like, no, thumbs down, get out of here.
If he was on a penny farthing, you would not be into it.
A fucking I would unicycle.
Not be into it. Ugh. Get him out of here.
Ugh. That'd be
I'm really glad. I do feel like tall bikes kind of went away. Do you remember those?
Oh yeah, that was so obnoxious.
That sucked. That was some
extremely
really
Portland shit. I feel like. That was just really
absolutely very Portland.
And you
shit.
Had to like get on them like a goddamn circus monkey. You had to like get them rolling and then like climb up, and it was just
climb
like,
up. What's the point?
Oh my god! Yeah, it was like you're putting on a show for everyone, I suppose.
It's somebody who wants the attention of someone on stilts, but still has places to go. That's what it is.
Yeah, like that's your mode of transportation is a tall bike. Come on,
yeah.
Imagine you were like gonna go like on a bike date with somebody like yeah that's what their bike sounds like.
Patty's nervously looking at his tall bike in the corner of his apartment, his brand new tall bike.
Imagine you make plans with somebody like you like set up a date or you're like gonna hang out with people and you're like, oh, let's go for a bike ride, let's like bike to the beach, and the person shows up with a tall bike. I'm leaving. I'm just like, no, we're not doing this.
I would only bike in places with a lot of low branches and just be like, oh, so sorry. Didn't expect to be on a tall bike.
Who would? No one expects that. No one can reasonably expect that. Mm. It's you have to like warn people when you meet them that you're a person that rides a tall bike. Just like, just so you know, I'm this type of asshole.
Yeah.
You should be aware.
I'm going to mention the dog has stopped barking and now it feels eerily silent, crushing silence without the dog barking.
I think he may have actually just stopped, but for a while he was still barking, but clearly was in another part of his house. So like he was quieter barking for a little while, but I think he may have actually finally stopped. Mm. And I'm scared that by addressing it, he will somehow know and come back.
He can sense the relief. Yeah. There's like relief molecules that dogs can smell that he's going to start going wild again.
That he hates. They make him go crazy.
It's like a eerily quiet. Like we were watching the U.S. Open last night, and like you can hear the planes flying over. Or if there's any, like, there aren't as many planes, but you can also hear the subways like pulling into the station over by Arthur Ashe. And it's like super loud because they're all squeaky because you know what, and like normally you don't hear that because there's like
crowds
obviously it's quiet when they're you know about to serve and stuff, but like the whole time now it's quiet, so you just hear this extended like for like you
that's
know
really
a minute straight.
Yeah
That's very weird. It's weird.
Where do they play?
Well, it's in Queens, like over by I guess that's Flushing, I think. Arthur Ashe Stadium is, and then there's a whole bunch of courts surrounding it. But it's like right off the subway.
And it's probably those like big raised subways, because in that part of Queens, like all the subways are above ground. So
yeah,
it's like
extremely
loud.
It's off the 7. So like you just hear the 7 train basically like, you know, slowly pulling into the station or whatever. And it's just very weird because there's nobody around.
Yeah.
You're going to be watching tennis and you're going to hear that exact dog barking again. Still,
yeah.
Just like I know his bark so well. I would recognize it anywhere.
I think you would hear if there was a dog barking anywhere on the grounds, you would probably hear it. Like, that's how yeah. quiet it is. It's very strange.
Well, it's crazy. It's like one of the NFL players, when they're about to start, he mentioned, I guess, like, nobody had thought of it. He was like, yeah, with no noise, everyone's going to be able to hear all of the plays. And like, and they had to figure it out. They're like, oh shit, right? Like, because they just can't have the defense be like, the coach is like, run, you know, fucking Z left or whatever. And they're like, all right, they're running Z left. And I was like, fuck. I think they have to.
That's a problem. That's a problem with wrestling too, because when they wrestle, they have to talk to each other about what they're about to do. And
I'm picking you up.
Yeah,
that's like, what they say.
That's what they say. Yeah,
get ready.
I'm about to pick you up.
I'm picking you up.
Yep. And you know, you can just hear, every time one of them just goes, huh, to like pick the other guy up. Yeah. It's like a lot less dramatic and heroic when it's just two guys being like, huh.
Yeah.
A bunch of times.
That's what I need to, I would connect more to that. I want to hear a wrestler or a boxer or something that makes a noise when he gets off the stool. That's what I want. I know there's no stools in wrestling. But I would love a boxer that, as he's getting off the stool, is like, oh, I'm like, yes, my man. Your knees yeah. also hurt all the time? Hell yeah. Yeah.
They cut that out of the Rocky movies where he gets up in between the rounds. It's like, oh. Like, okay, that's kind of.
Okay,
right.
Maybe you should.
I mean, those
right,
guys are.
Throwing the towel. That's pretty distressing.
Those guys are, like, really sore all the time. I like, bet. They would be making those noises. But that reminds me of a friend of mine, if any of our listeners have watched me do the Master Pancake Twitch streams at any point during quarantine, Master Pancake member Scott Chester, who is, like, I think he's in his late 50s. A few years ago, he was like, my New Year's resolution this year is to just be fit enough that I don't make noise. Standing up from a chair, like, that's all I want. That's all the fitness I desire. I don't
age.
Need to be. I don't need to like look nice. I just need to not go getting out of a chair,
out of a beanbag chair.
Well, like, it made me feel really bad because Scott's like 30 years older than me, and I'm like, I do that. Like, I have. He has an excuse of age. I have no excuse to like
natural.
Have that much of a drama when I'm sitting up or standing up or sitting down.
Yeah, I went to one of those. Oh, sorry.
You don't want to have to do like an aborted attempt. Like, you're like, ugh, all right, hang on, this time I'm gonna do it.
Yeah,
I don't.
All of a sudden,
I really don't need to use momentum. Like, that's a problem. If I need to like wind myself up to get up, that's an issue.
I'd slowly inflate a balloon that I've placed under my ass to get me out of my chair. Yeah.
Whatever works.
Do we want to?
What were we talking about? Bikes? Yeah.
What were we talking about? Podcast? Yeah, whatever.
Oh. Look, the dog threw me off my game. I'm having a real weird time yeah. over here.
Well, we have one Uh-oh. News story remaining.
I'll make up for it now.
Let's go to number one.
Let's do it.
And this week's number one reason to say what a time to be alive.
Soup.
It's not soup.
It is not soup.
It is a story from Echo, which I guess is some sort of newspaper. They're rebranded. And here's the title. Vandals tear down letter from Liverpool Philharmonic Hall sign in an idiotic attack. Which, first of all, stop editorializing. How about you just report
the
news?
Yeah. I come here to hear the facts.
Yeah. This is, you know, it's not an opinion piece. How about you get your fucking bias
a
out
dumb,
of here?
Stupid dope.
Yeah. And then they could go, a horrified Hope Street Hotel guest woke to see Hall's distinctive sign was missing a letter. And I think what's gotten all these people in such a tizzy is that you may be able to guess the letters stolen from the Liverpool Harmonic Hall, Liverpool Philharmonic Hall is the L from Liverpool, resulting in it simply reading...
The final L.
The second L.
Liverpool. Devastated.
Yeah. Liverpool. Crying.
Wrecked.
So it does indeed now say Liverpool. And
Liverpool.
Please, this is a serious story. This is an idiotic attack, as they said.
The children laughing sounds like a clown just got hurt. That's like the only thing I can... It's a
Yeah.
Blood is leaking
his
from his
fell
ears.
Down.
He's just...
The only thing that can make children laugh like that is harm coming to a clown.
So what movie is that? Is it Billy Madison? Where the clown falls down? There's like a this is an actual thing that happens in a movie. And everyone's laughing and then you see blood coming out of his ear.
Yeah, that's Billy Madison.
Yeah.
He just fell down and broke his leg and got a hemorrhage in his head, I believe, is how he describes the injury later in the film.
That's how he describes the incident. So yeah, these people, the person writing this story is guaranteed at like 7 years old because they're so mad. They're so mad about
this. They're furious.
They're like, they've been targeted by mindless vandals who caused damage to the historic venue sign in the middle of the night, which is usually when damage is caused. Lucy Armfield, who is staying at the Hope Street Hotel, which faces the hall, said she heard the sound of drunken men shouting and laughing in the street at about 2 a.m. So good chance we know what they were up to. But yeah, and then it says, it wasn't until this morning that the 43-year-old noticed the damage that had been done to the sign in what she described as, quote, a horrible piece of mindless vandalism. Like, it's fine. They'll put it back.
I feel like the more they act like it's a huge deal, the funnier it is.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, this is a real Danzig, I do not eat my own cum situation. Just
exactly.
Stop talking about it.
Yeah, it's like, I feel like if they were just like, you know, nice one guys, it would be like, who cares? But the fact that everyone in Liverpool is up in arms about this really makes it an excellent
Just prank. Screaming, call the Prime Minister! Just like with an insane
The bobbies, where are the bobbies?
Well, I believe this also resulted in a chase, which I can only imagine is like fully Benny Hill, like fast motion, drunk guys running with the L as like a guy with a nightstick runs after them and then his pants fall down.
Well, that's
they're trying to take the L away when they've already taken the L metaphorically.
Yes,
exactly.
I was imagining
Look,
even
your
just
L
investigating.
Has been taken in many ways.
I like imagining everything British cops do involves the bobby stick. Like even investigating, it's just a group of them like kind of like lightly hitting the sign, being like, oh, blah, 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 blah. Figure it out.
Yeah.
So, you know, Lucy's being a real fucking herb. This is a horrible piece of mindless vandalism. The Liverpool Philharmonic Hall is a wonderful, iconic building with so much history. The arts industry is struggling so much during the pandemic, and to have this happen on top of all their financial struggles is terrible. Whatever. It's a I mean,
they can afford
letter.
Another L for the sign.
Yeah.
It'll be okay.
You what you do is you use this and say, look, haha, very funny, but we just want to use this opportunity to bring attention to the fact that, you know, we need, you know, like that's how you do it. You don't say, you know, it's the end of the world or whatever. You know,
you have a guy with a tuba from the Philharmonic go out front, make fart sounds, Liverpool, very funny. And then you become rich.
Yeah. Make t-shirts of it. Sell them to finance the rehabbing of the sign. Mm-hmm. I'd buy one.
Yeah, and as Kath mentioned, these are like two stories where I guess there was the first story, they're like, the letter's gone, and then they found out that, unrelated to a report of that, no one had reported it, but there was a chase. About 5:45 a.m., on Monday, people reported it out of a concern for safety of a man because they saw him on the ledge, which is like, it's not super high up, but it's, you know, you could fuck yourself up off of it. And then he took the letter, and they did indeed. They don't say their names, but if you were wondering, they did chase someone holding a big L around for a while. That
nice.
Did happen.
Nice.
Yes.
Man, I imagine that going by your window. That would be excellent. Much better than carpet snakes or whatever passing through your garden. Yeah. Just guy holding a giant L. I'm trying to get, by the way, I'm currently...
Do not go near the giant L. If the giant L is in your garden, it is nine times out of ten, it's just passing through. Yeah.
I'm trying to get anagrams right now for Liverpool Philharmonic to see what else they could have made. But I feel like all these internet anagram servers are really having trouble with that many letters.
Well, everyone's home doing this now.
It's
normally
true.
When people are at work, they're blocked from these sites, so they don't have as much traffic.
It's true.
Also, this feels deeply British to me, is that they have sort of like a little, you know, like, they basically have like a British version of sound off in the comments, but it's called have your say. Have your say. And it's good.
That's very...
goes, have your say. Should penalties like for vandalism like this be tougher? make a ruckus in the comments, you know? Like,
I do have some anagrams that they could have made with this sign instead of just stealing the L if they wanted to. I think my favorite of the ones on the top is a chillier Rhino Loop MVP. They could have made the sign say that. Mm. Don't know why they didn't. What were they thinking?
Yeah. Well, they're big, heavy letters.
A rhinoceri high lolly MVP op. Could have done that one. A chilly hill vino romp. Just
I like the simplicity.
A lot
of
options here.
I like just adding a turd thing into it, you know? Also,
I'm surprised that this doesn't happen to signs all over Liverpool constantly.
There's also, if you guys want to know the comments, there's some people that are taking their comedic spin on this. Peter Kelly says, this is such a strange joke. Just a case of needing a hearing test. His wife has asked him to go and get her some lettuce, but he thought she said, get some letters.
Wow. That's a long way to go.
Yes.
Yeah. I appreciate the effort, though.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
And then
I just imagine, like, if you have a business in Liverpool, you got to be nailing down the final L in Liverpool.
Yeah, you got to super
right?
Glue that.
Like, you got to really keep that secure.
Yeah, like, you don't have to.
Otherwise, it's your own fault.
You don't have to pay for an alarm on all the letters, but that one should have, like, a Indiana Jones switch. Like, you just know.
Yeah. It should be in a glass case, and if you break it, security comes.
Also, from the comments, says, what the L's going on? That is a comment from T-Boy, who is very British, I guess. His name is just T-Boy.
T like the drink?
Yes.
Like the famous hot drink?
Yes.
Okay, sure.
He loves it.
All lowercase, T space boy.
T-Boy.
Yeah.
Please welcome our newest patron, T-Boy.
It sounds like a fucking, like, weird, like a joke of an English rapper. It's like, I'm T-Boy. It's like, what
right.
the fuck?
T-Boy is the British Two Chains. That's his original name or whatever.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then someone else says, Flying Pig says, drug-fueled nonsense. City center is full of it. Okay.
They're going to make it into another, like, this fucking Democrat city, Liverpool. Oh. It's a totally different country.
Just an anarchist jurisdiction.
Exactly. They've taken over. Antifa has taken over Liverpool and have renamed it.
Well, yeah, there's a guy right below this talking about their city's European capture of culture heritage squandered. So, yeah, that's pretty much there.
Oh, God. Yeah, pretty much.
So.
God.
Cool. Well, I hope these quote unquote mindless vandals got away without too much punishment. I feel like if you gave everybody the entertainment not only of Liverpool but of watching you run away from the cops carrying a giant L, you should not need to serve any time.
Yeah, I mean, in the UK they have senseless vandalism, and in the U.S. we have senseless killings. So who's better? You know, it seems to me. That
yeah.
In terms of senseless crimes,
I think they should put more.
This is less a senseless crime and more like it's senseless in the sense of nonsense. They're just doing nonsense.
Yeah,
right.
But it was actually very calculated. You know, I think that they should put more value into whether a crime was funny or not. I don't think they do.
I agree.
With that. Should get a reduced sentence because it was pretty funny. I think that's fair.
I think so. I think that's a criminal reform that we need.
Yes.
Shall we end this podcast?
Shall we end?
Yeah, let's do some.
Have your
shall
say.
We fuck, shall we fuck off?
Have your say.
So, hey, this is the show. And if you like the show, there's more of the show available at patreon.com/whatatimepod. We got a bunch of bonus episodes, over 100 now. We got a live show video. We got a Roadhouse movie commentary. And we got some goals coming up. At 1,100 patrons, we're going to have Eli do a live-streamed art show, some of his fantasy art from the old days.
Yes, not from now. When I was 14.
From now. From, yeah. And
the stuff for now, you have to wait until we get more patrons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
then we'll
right.
do a critique of your current yeah. fantasy yes. art.
Let's be very clear. Eli is still drawing fantasy art.
Yes, that is, absolutely.
Yes.
And,
a lot of dragons with abs. Good stuff.
At 1,200 patrons, we will do the Death Nut Challenge, where we will eat a series of increasingly spicy nuts. And I guess you can watch us in varying degrees of pain. So definitely check that out when we get to that level. Let's see. Patreon.com/whatatimepod. TeePublic, there's a link in the description. We have a bunch of shirts that are on sale. As well as other stuff. It's the shirts are like $13 and everything else is on sale as well, I believe. We have a brand new shirt that's based on a Josh Gondelman and us riff that's kind of Lovecraft meets Massachusetts, basically, culture. And so that's a fun one. And we also have a new one coming. I don't know if it's going to be this weekend or not, but keep an eye out for that. It may be something that people have requested a lot for the past year or whatever, however long it's been. So, TeePublic link in the description. If you like the show, give us a review on iTunes. If you want to join the Discord, there's the free channels, and then there's the private channels, which are at the $10 level, and there's a link to the Discord in the description to join up. What a Time Pod on Twitter and Instagram. What a Time Podcast at Gmail. I am Patty Moe on the stuff, and I don't have anything to plug.
I have another podcast called Lie, Cheat, and Steal, which is a true crime podcast about liars, frauds, thieves, and bullshitters. We do one free episode a month and two Patreon-only bonus episodes a month. We do have a Patreon goal right now. When we get to $1,000 a month on Patreon, we are going to go weekly. So we'll have two free and two bonus episodes a month. So if you're interested in that, check it out. Patreon.com/liecheatandsteal. I'm Kath Barbadoro on everything, and I think that's it.
You can follow me on Twitter, and I do Twitch, twitch.tv/pig_dog, and that's most of it. That's pretty much it. Not a lot, not doing a lot.
Yeah, and thank you again to our sponsor, Encounter Party. Check that out, we talked about that up top. It's a fun show, so definitely check that out. So thank you to them again, and that's it,
and
I think.
Thank you for listening.
Yeah, oh yeah, thank you as well.
Thank
you. Won't be rude.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.